the spirit, mind, the revelation. And your intention translates the unseen into the seen and makes the what of life become the who of life. Everybody get that? Our intention is what shapes this. And I wonder some days, as I'm trying to connect the dots to my life and find this place of authenticity, find this calling, call this whatever, find my truth and not be in chaos or frustration or fear or the whole list that Alan gratefully reminds us of that we all have going on someday. And I wonder, like, well, what is truth? What am I? Who am I? Like, this is something that's driven me, all my life. I was being booted out of Sunday school at my more orthodox church when I was about 4. Because I said, well, wait a minute. Why do you ask me to beg in this prayer when Jesus said it's already right here? Kingdom's already here. What am I asking for again? I'm asking for a baby. That's what wasn't here before this week, huh? Yeah. And she's so graceful and loving to bring her here to hear me speak. I love you. I love you. Yes, yes. As I was forewarned by a few mommies in our community, I would not win any points if Saturday she went into birth and I was here Sunday for my talk. So we did have some plan B's and C's lined up for everybody to rest your mind at ease. James is, you know. As he gratefully organized my existence for me, I've been introduced to the Franklin Covey. So James is making sure it's all in divine order and we've got the list and the phone numbers and all is well. And so that's what I want to share this idea with you, because to me that's what standing up here is for me, is just to facilitate an idea sharing. I definitely won't preach at you at all. In fact, I swore that I would never even come to a church again for the rest of my life at one point. So not my thing I'll do. But we find there's an amazing book study going on in the community right now, and they're exploring these same ideas. What is the truth? And where do we get off? And most importantly, how do we get back on? Because that's really the only thing that matters. It's not how long we're off or how far off we think we are or how far off our loved one may think we are at some afternoons. The idea is how fast and how strong and how dedicated can we get back on the track. So in the book study last week, which in actuality was number 6, not chapter 6, my bad, it was chapter 5, this was a question that I think Deb proposed to the study group, and it says, perhaps if you boil it all down, we don't have a violence problem, a hunger crisis, or environmental breakdowns. I know that shocks many of our activists, but all of these symptoms are of the real problem, which is that most of humanity remains asleep to the essential oneness of life. Now, as I told James, I think my talk will be pretty easy if baby shows up, because I could probably, she won't let me because she's hungry, but there's too many lights and all that. But if I just brought that baby out here right now, just let you smell it, and just look at it, and just be with it, and just observe it, especially like when she came right into my hands for the first time, and for the first breath, and the first everything was right there together with us. If I did that right now, I'm just guessing, but I believe that you might be reminded of this. No, not this. This. This is what you'd be reminded of. That there's only one presence and one power. Because we'd look into her eyes and we would see nothing but God. Because that's all there is. Now, we named her. Are we terrible parents? We slapped a label on God. We put it in a box. It's okay. It's okay because we have a community here. We're building something amazing that's changing the world to where these little ones like this can grow up and be reminded. Every time they get off, every time they forget who they are, they forget their truth, they'll come here. Just like we do when we're hobbling in later on going, I know I forgot something. Oh, one presence and one power. I was thinking I was limited. I was thinking I was diseased. I was thinking I was poor. I was thinking I was in lack somehow. But oh, wait, that's right. This is what I was born knowing. This is what the master teachers have taught from the ends of time, is that there's just now, it's all good, it's all here, it's all present. It doesn't even matter what faith we go and study. I can kind of attest to that as I ran away from Christianity and said I would never come back in any form. I ran into the same truth teachings studying with the Buddha. And I ran into the same truth teachings as I took my yoga training and studied the Hindu systems and what all that entailed. And it was like, all of a sudden, those dots were really easy for me to connect, that it made a one presence, one power. Like, that was it. And Jesus, the way shower, he spoke of that in a way that reminded us not to judge by appearances, because we know baby can cry. We know that we can feel these things and we can see these other things that aren't necessarily the truth, but they're our experience and they're very present and true in our experience. And this guy, I'll go back one. Or actually, Robert will go back one for me. This guy, I don't know. Oh, there's a reflection a little bit, but do you guys see this guy in the corner here? That's your minister, James. When he was an intern, like I stand here now, and I was reminded at the first service that he's not here, so I could get away with this. So we just slid that in between. But this was our beloved mentor standing next to me on the side here, Sky St. John. And he's the one that really reminded me that this truth also applied to Jesus. Now that kind of shocked me because I was very angry. I was very angry of what people, in my mind, what they had done to Jesus' teachings, and that they had turned them into this control system and these other things is what my perception was. And so no longer could I see like these things that are written in red. All of a sudden, now that's what meant most to me as a child, but then I got blinded to that because of what else I chose to see in the world. But here, besides judging, not judging by appearances, but by good judgment, he reminds us in Matthew about where to lay our treasures, to lay them up here in heaven, to lay them in consciousness, to not lay all of our treasures down here in the earthly realms, in the physical sense, to take stock into that creative, divine power. And he says, because for where your treasure is, that is where your heart also is. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Sermon done. It's out of here. What more reminder do we need that if we draw this up, this eye, this, oh my goodness, the third eye, if we draw our treasures up, if we spend our time and our energy and our focus back up here, not with the squirrel that's running around, or the hamster running on its little wheel in there. You know, we've got ego, and it has a beautiful place, and it can strengthen us. It can be the thing we need most sometimes, but it's not the truth of our being. And so I'm very thankful that this guy reminded me of that, because we need to find a place like this
a place that we can feel nurtured, a place that we can be reminded of a greater truth. And I know right here, for all three of us, and hopefully for all of you looking and observing now, we were saturated in the truth of our being. Saturated in the knowing that we are loved, we are supported, we are cared for. And there's no doubt. There's no doubt for anybody in that moment. And that's always present. And that's where we put our treasures. That's one of the things that this beautiful woman reminded me when I didn't really want to date so much. I thought I had this really big mission in life that didn't include, you know, earthly relationships and these kinds of things. I didn't need any more of that in my life. And I told her, I said, you know, a partnership to me would be something even beyond what I think of as spiritual. Such a oneness with my partner that we would be together storing in this treasure, the treasures in this higher consciousness. That would be the only reason for me to partner with somebody, was for that. So, sorry, no time for dating, I'll see you later. And she says to me, oh, I'm not sure if you know, this Buddhist practice that we both share has this thing called Kozen Rufu, great Japanese term, meaning, in essence, world peace. And that is what our focus is in having a relationship with anybody, is that we come together to remind each other of that oneness, to remind each other that we are, in essence, that we are the outflowing and the expression of God. That's what it's all about. If not, why are we looking in this mirror with each other? Why are we sharing this breath and this space other than to remind each other that we are this great expression of the divine? Again, if I held the baby here, everybody would go, oh, look at God. Look at those eyes. She's so pure. She's so that. Well, you know, look at the person next to you. Is it that easy to see? Or do I see your name? Do I see your job title? Do I see the thing you said to me last week when I didn't really appreciate it? Did I see that you parked in my parking stall or sat in my seat because it's mine? Or what is it, because like the way shower said, the eyes, they're this portal. So what is it that I'm choosing to see? Now, there's a fairly successful guy, Steve Jobs. Some of you guys might have heard of him. He said it like this. Again, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something. Your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. This approach has never let me down, and it has made all the difference in my life. Now, this has made a big difference in my life, too, because it has been that. I was reminded earlier of the movie The Secret, which a few of us have seen over the years, and I didn't confirm this in between services, but I think it was Mike Dooley who said, you know, it's like, you're behind the wheel, and you're driving through the night. You're going from New York to California, like Adrian did. She just made a big move from New York to California. So we're driving through the night. Well, we can only see as far as the headlights will point. That's it. But we don't just stop and go, oh, okay. I can only see about to the back row. So that's as far as I'm going to go. No. We keep going. And nowadays, we're so advanced in our consciousness. What do?
Siri, take me to California.
And we don't do anything. We sit back. Gas light's on. I stop and get gas. Oh, belly's grumbling. Stop and get food. Let me stop for something else. You know, like, it's very simple. Like it's very simple how we can connect the dots to what we need, where we're at, what our consciousness is really holding. And this is a point where we can, like Alan's class, we can incorporate things like anchoring, because it's really simple. What do I see in front of me? Is it beauty and divine and this one presence? If so, great, check, because I know what I'm holding in consciousness. Now, the next day, or the next moment, what do I see? Am I seeing resentment? Am I seeing resistance? Am I seeing chaos? If so, great, check, I'm aware of what I'm holding in consciousness. It's not tough. It's not tough to connect the dots. And some of you might know that just a couple weeks ago, I became a member of Unity of Dallas. It's very special for me. Thank you. Thank you. It's interesting to be up a couple weeks later giving a service talk, being a new member and all. There is another new members class at the end of the month I recommend, because it was so full, and I've taken this at a few different unities. Lisa has really organized that in a beautiful way to share like really deep nuggets, and everybody can come together and really explore what unity might be about, whether you want to be a member or not. It's like, it's a good way to know myself, and it's a good way to just check in. Because, as sometimes happens, we show up in very precarious ways. In the book that I received in becoming a new member, this Unity, A Quest for Truth, there's a cute little story in here. And he says, if you don't mind me reading to you for just a bit, says, a man brought his boss home to dinner. He had primed his precocious child to be, quote, seen and not heard. The boss was a gruff and self-centered executive, a perfect character of the jokes made about bosses in general. You can all get the picture. Much like one of my grandfathers, I remember. I love you too, son. Very serious about it all. And his heart, you know, heart was huge though. But he says the silenced lad stared at the boss throughout the whole evening. So finally, he's annoyed as all can be, about to explode. I can just see his red face, like, why is this kid staring at me? And he said, why do you keep looking at me that way? Well, seeing his father was out of the room, coast was clear. No more seen, not heard for a moment. The little boy says, well, my daddy says that you're a self-made man. The man beamed at this proudly, you know, adjusting his belt and all, yes. He says, he said, proudly admitted, this man proudly admitted that he had surely made his own way in the world, carving out his niche through hard work and ability. And with candor, the boy said, but why did you make yourself like that? And it's true. It's true. This one of my favorite little green creatures in the universe, Yoda, he reminded, you know, everybody in this beautiful movie, Star Wars, he reminded them all one presence, one power. He reminded all of the Jedi, there's no reason to fear this Vader. There's no reason to fear this dark side. Because guess what? He's working with the Force. That's the same thing that we're working with. It doesn't matter whether we call it dark or light. It doesn't matter if we pretend we're afraid of it. It doesn't matter if we think we've got it all together. None of this matters, except for the knowing that there is just one presence and power. And that needs to be our anchor. That is the thing that will save us. That was the thing that will empower us. That is the thing that, for me, we need constant reminder of. Every time we open our eyes, every time we get confused or angry or off in any way into judgment for the people around us, it's time to step up and say, hey, that's my sign. That's my sign. I need to remember truth. And the truth is, there's only one presence, and one power, active in this world, and as this world, and as my life. Like, that's 100% it. And again, it's through means like prayer and meditation that some little ones take on really early. This little baby has been surrounded. She's been here since about midnight on the 1st. And she's had at least 3/4 of her breathing filled with prayer and chanting. We've constantly surrounded her in that vibration of knowing that she's part of this beautiful cycle of life, and death, and that it's all this one presence and one power. And so all of her cells, all of her mind, all of her first days are filled with this rich knowing for a reason. Because of the support and love that this community has given to our family, because of all that we have come together to create, at least this child is just saturated in it. I just know where this will take us as we continue to do that. In this same book, they talk a lot about our way shower and a lot about the scriptures and how one of the key elements to it. And it says here, throughout the entire Old Testament, the historical sequence, the teaching of the prophets, and the beauty of the Psalms, we find the intimation of that which Proverbs expresses tersely. Quote, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And through parable and direct teaching, Jesus stressed the importance of thought. Whatever a man sows in thought, that he will also reap in his affairs. And Jesus realized that the mind is the bridge between the finite and the infinite, and that even more than fervency and feeling in religion, the important element is our thoughts and attitudes. He said, quote, "A man's foes will be those of his own household." And they say that he meant that that was the thoughts of our own mind. And Paul gives the greatest of all when he says of religion, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." This is what things like these classes and these talks and this music, this is what all this has come together to do, is to be our anchor, to be that thing that is our constant reminder, whether it be our relationship and how we share in activities on Friday or these special events or just gathering here on Sunday. It's all for that treasure, to where if at any time we get off, we can come right back to the truth that there's only this one presence and one power. Will you join me in affirming that? There's only one presence and one power active as my life and as I am. How about that one more time? I don't know. Serious. Any way that you can get there, get there. Anytime you feel off, call the office. Come to a class. We're 7 days a week. Trust me. I'm 7 days a week. I'm doing this with my full life. Thank you. Thank you.